Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
The Washington professional football team is probably changing its name.
It's a rap, dog. Hey,
with Joshua Briscoe.
Checkmate, mother believer.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
If you would also like Nate Taylor going, checkmate, mother bleeper, as your text tone anytime anyone texts you, we'll make that available somewhere. I would like to figure out if I can make that the sound that I have for push notifications from anytime Nate tweets. Every time Nate Taylor tweets, at by Nate Taylor on Twitter, anytime there's a new story on The Athletic by Nate Taylor, I just want to hear him just say, checkmate, mother bleeper. Nate, I don't know if you can get that technology done. If you want to make t-shirts with that on it, I would buy one.
Thank you for having me. Man, that was one of the more passionate, segments I've ever done in my tenure with 18. First time, I think, on live right now. Also, checkmate, mother thing. Put those two words together. But it's so true. If you want to come to your adversary's house when you've won the war and say, checkmate, mother bleeper, all it takes is a few couple dollars. Just throw them my way via PayPal or any other method of transferring currency.
Look, if Troy Aikman can charge $750 for a cameo, certainly you can send Nate $20 to just text a video of himself to a friend of yours just saying, checkmate, mother bleeper. That feels like a good value.
Right. I mean, it's like you can use it for elections. You can use it for, like, school board meetings. You can use it for, like, hey, I got the promotion within the department versus you. Like, look, we can diversify, such a catchphrase if necessary. So, yeah, I mean, just Dan Snyder. He's looking at every, he's like that guy who plays chess with four different people in the park, and he has no moves on either board.
Yes.
None of the boards, he has moves.
He just got swept. I think it's checkers, though, which I know doesn't really work for the checkmate thing, but I just think Dan Snyder is probably more of a checkers man. God, Nate, there's a lot of things to talk about, actually, on this one, huh? This week got busier than we expected really quickly.
Yeah.
We'll go a lot of other places very, very soon, but starting anywhere other than Patrick Mahomes getting what I believe with inflation will be $50 billion and not $500 million. He's gonna keep climbing that ladder. You've written about this multiple times up on The Athletic. If you're not subscribed yet, what are you doing? TheAthletic.com/TimesOurs for 40% off your free trial there. Or not, 40% off your subscription there. And you can also check out the Times Hours podcast, by the way, with myself, Nate Taylor, and Seth Kaiser. You've written about this Mahomes deal in different forms now, three different times. But let's go back to breakdown of it all, or maybe actually a little bit after we recorded our emergency episode of Times Ours.
Yeah.
We didn't know the numbers were going to be at that time. Reports literally started coming out as soon as we finished. What did you think whenever you saw the numbers, you saw $500 million and then eventually learned about the breakdown along the way?
Yeah, honestly, that wasn't the first number that I really thought about. The thing that I thought about in the context of like how any I should say any, but how most NFL extensions, contract deals are made, I just kept looking at, that's a one and a zero, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then, of course, everybody thinks about, like, well, what was I doing 10 years ago? And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. It's like I've never had a job for 10 years, kids.
Right.
A little fact. I haven't even been married for 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years. That was the first thing that, like, really caught my eye. The money is just so much a monopoly of cash that, like, it's so hard to comprehend. Like, every friend I talk to is like, so it's like $500 million. I'm like, yeah. It's like, yeah. And as we're recording Times Ours, I'm out here like, I don't know, like, this seems really weird, guys, but the person that's texting me is saying 475, and like, I don't know if I'm responsible even telling you that number, because that doesn't even seem real. And then everything comes out, and it's like, oh my God, if he goes to 10 straight, you know, Super Bowls, mm-hmm. and it's like, the MVP of all of them, he gets up to $503 billion. So it's just, it's insane.
Yeah.
But the 10-year commitment is, I think, something that has kind of been overlooked.
Yeah.
Because the money is such, like, it's so large and it's completely understandable. But, like, at no point in the history of the franchise has any player been like, yeah, lock me down for 10, dog.
Yeah.
No player ever before Patrick Mahomes with even Clark Hunt, Lamar Hunt, whoever, say, like, lock me in for 10 if his name wasn't, like, Tony Gonzalez or, like, Derek Thomas.
Right.
But still, it's 10 years. Like, part of me was like, you know, part of it is because in order to break Mike Trout's record for the largest contract in American sports, which was $426.5 million, in order to get over that hurdle, yes, it was better for the team to stretch it out, fine. But still, the player and his representatives, Chris Cabin and Lee Steinberg, his agents, were okay with signing up for a 10-year deal.
Yeah.
That's not really 10, but it's still a 10-year deal. And the quote that I sort of alluded to in yesterday's story as to how this was all structured and how it all came together was Patrick Mahomes basically saying that, like, you can't do this with every single organization in the NFL. And honestly, Patrick, you can't even do this with half of the organizations in Major League Baseball right now,
because
we all understand. So the 10-year commitment was really significant. And I think as we get further removed from just how much that dude is making, it's like, wow, it looks great now. He really committed himself for 10 years and has basically told anybody that will listen, I'm going to play my entire career in Kansas City. And it's just like, okay, dude.
Yeah.
Like, all right. I mean, things could change for better and for worse. And it's just like, all right. I mean, it's a real sports marriage in a way that we just don't see in the modern era.
Yeah, we talked about that some last night and kind of circled in on that, because I do think that a lot of people, rightfully so, by the way, have kind of learned to unlearn the year number in any NFL contract. Like, every 5-year, $100 million deal is actually 3 years and 65, you know? That's not really the case here. Like, the structure of this with those guarantee mechanisms that we've all learned about... It would be really hard for this deal not to go 10 years. I mean, I think there's a way better chance that they renegotiate after 5 for the sake of extending it longer and moving some money around rather than the Chiefs ever trying to take the poison pill on this one.
Right. I mean, the real idea is, like, I think the Chiefs, and this is just like an early guess, because, again, we don't know what the salary cap will be in this year, but I think the Chiefs can take the first big giant chunk of this in 2024, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about 2025 where it's like, okay, Pat, remember that lovely conversation we had back in June of 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah, dog, we've met it. And we need you to, like, you know, we got to cut your check, push some other things back, and let's add, like, 2 more years to this and keep you around till 2033. And, you know, and hopefully it'll go as smooth as it did in this sort of situation for the Chiefs. But I think that's the thing that we're all understanding. It's so hard to project out, again, where this is all going to go, just because, I mean, I think we all rightfully assume that the salary cap is going to go up, but you don't know exactly, just because of, one, the pandemic, mm-hmm. two, what these TV deals are going to look like. Because, I mean, if people are out here starving for, like, any live sports, and then you can successfully give people the NFL in a global pandemic,
yep.
That might be a real leveraging chip that the league can sort of put to, you know, TV executives for, like, the rights to their live broadcast of games. But, like, if the money balloons the way people think it is, I mean, several people other than me have made this point. He's really not the highest paid quarterback now, and he might not be the highest paid quarterback in 2024, when, hello, you may have to renegotiate, and he still may not be the highest quarterback in that year, which is kind of the brilliance of all of this.
Yeah.
Because it gives Lee and Chris Cabot and Patrick the ability to say, hey, at one point in time, I was a phenom, and I cashed in, and I got the biggest deal that's ever been cut. at the same time, I was really never the highest paid player, which also allowed me to continue to win championships, which is secretly like maybe the new wave of like kind of doing what Tom Brady did in New England. And so, look, Lee Steinberg's been managing quarterback contracts literally since the 1980s. He's seen everything. And so for him and Chris Cabot, and I guess to some degree, you know, Brent Tillis and Brett Veach of the Chiefs organization, to flip through the dictionary, to get to the thesaurus and say, what word can we use to try to help people understand what the hell we're doing? Mechanism! Like, I honestly want to write a story about that. I mean, it's a ridiculous question that I really couldn't ask yesterday during the historic Zoom presentation that was live broadcasted by the mothership. But part of it in my mind was like, I would like to write 1,000 words as to how in the world they came to, like, mechanism.
Yeah.
Like, guaranteed mechanism. Not roster bonus. Not, hey, you know, just roll it over. Honestly, that's the words that we've been using for years, guys.
Like,
somebody just rolls on. You just push it out of here. And you just wait for that to come around. And then it comes around and you just push it back another year. They found a new word in the dictionary of NFL contracts. It's kind of hilarious.
It is. No, it's outstanding. I don't know if you saw the tweet, but I was on a radio station in Canada, and they were talking about how many people were Googling guarantee mechanisms. And so I went and looked at the Google Analytics for the search terms, and there are a couple little bumps and then a huge spike from Monday. And not only was that hilarious, I had the thought of, do you think they were all Googling it? Like, were they the little bumps a couple times earlier this week to try to figure out if that term existed?
Right.
They literally might have.
Look, based on what you're telling me, Jess, I would hope that's what they were doing. Part of the brilliance of it is, like, confusing everybody. It's like blowing sand in somebody's eyes. They're trying to understand what the hell is going on around them. It's not like an illusion, because honestly, once the chart came out from Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, it's like, okay, I understand this. I've seen the number of charts, and okay, cool. But for like that 4-hour window, we're recording, and I'm trying to tell people, here's how I feel, here's how I'm reacting to the news. I'm still texting people like crazy, and what in the world is a guaranteed mechanism? What is that? So just the idea of them being like, look, it's going to be a lot of money, Pat. We're going to try to soften the immediate reaction of an NFL player getting this much money in a global pandemic. What catchphrase can we come up with to blow smoke up everybody's you-know-what?
Someone on Twitter suggested that we change Patrick Mahomes' nickname to the Guaranteed Mechanism. And I think that's great. I think on 3rd and 15, what is he? Oh, that's the Guaranteed Mechanism. Showtime, tired. PM 15, that's nothing. Patrick Mahomes, the Guaranteed Mechanism.
This is no disrespect to Pat Mahomes, senior, you know, the longtime major league pitcher who, by the way, has handled his son's career and taught him in a way that is truly masterful. I was talking to Holly, my wife, about this. I'm like, I don't know. Like, what's the worst thing Patrick Mahomes has done since he's been in, like, the social consciousness of people? I can't find it. If we could just, like, Showtime Mahomes, doesn't really work when even I wasn't around and you tell me Showtime and I'm Matthew Johnson. Doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
You know, I understand. You know, PM 15, cool. That's like TV 12.
That's the brand, sure.
Yeah, it's what they do. But like, if you could tell me on 4th and 9 against Baltimore, you know, coming in September, on, you know, hopefully ESPN primetime television with nobody in the stands, the broadcaster who also is not in the stadium, he's mostly broadcasting from Bristol or wherever.
Right.
Actually, I think getting more about Mitch Holtis in this regard.
Yes.
Because he's okay with like talking to guys in the locker room and being like, how do you want me to describe you when you make like a crazy insane play? I also think he came up with the shark caricature for Frank Clark because he literally hunted, you know, Deshaun Watson like a shark in the second half of the division. Obviously, we know about Tyrann Mathieu and the landlord. Yeah, what does it say if, you know, guaranteed mechanism completes it to the cheetah first down Kansas City? Like, it would kind of be hilarious.
I got to figure out if it would be weird for my, like, first ever text message to Mitch Holthus to just be like, hey, Mitch, quick question. how does this feel for you? We got to tag him in the tweet. We can get Mitch to sound off on this. I think we're going to have a chance. He retweeted earlier today someone enjoying him saying Kelce gargling in the sweet nectar of the end zone. Whenever you've crossed that line, I think there's a real chance we could get guaranteed mechanism in there instead of Showtime. I think Mitch might make that happen. And if Mitch makes that happen, it's happening. Like that,
right.
We're in on that point.
Right. I mean, he kind of ignites whatever you've come up with, whether it's from the player or the fans or who, you know, whoever it may be. But yeah. Like Mahomes' mechanisms matriculating the ball down the field. Kind of just rolled off the tongue there, kids.
I wrote this down like 7 minutes ago whenever we were actually talking about Mahomes' contract still, but it did strike me, to your point, like everyone's like, oh, well, his percentage of the salary cap is going to be... You led up to this. Patrick Mahomes might not be the highest paid quarterback in football until like 2027. Like, there is a non-zero chance of that.
Right. And even then, some dumb team's going to make some dumb decision
yes.
to give a quarterback more money than that. Like
yes.
That. Like, because the salary cap, it's one of these weird theories or situations where, you know, even if you have someone like Drew Brees, who's late in their career and warrants that particular amount of money mm-hmm. towards your team's cap, because the salary cap limits everybody else who's not a quarterback, in a weird way, in the reverse, the salary cap helps the team with the generational quarterback mm-hmm. because, sure, you're going to give them a lot of money. Sure, you're going to have to build the team with really wise scouting in terms of the draft picks that you have, the shrewd deal that you make in free agency to sort of plug some holes here and there. But because you have the greatest commodity in the sport,
yeah.
it's always going to be held at a reduced cost because guess what? There's an other owner and another GM and another coach out there in the wilderness anybody who could throw the ball 10 or more yards to somebody in the same jersey. So, of course, they're going to, like, overpay, which is, like, the brilliance and the terribleness of what happened with Kirk Cousins, right?
Yes.
His franchise tag twice. Because the Redskins, a la Checkmateville, is basically like, we got nothing to do here.
Yep.
Like, we can't go anywhere. We don't have a high enough draft pick. We don't want to trade enough picks to move up in the draft. Ain't nobody better. Because, by the way, quarterbacks are good. Never hit the free agent market, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
I guess we have to franchise this dude a second time.
Yep.
And then Kirk Cousins, by the way, has never won a playoff game, ladies and gentlemen, until this year. So the Redskins are like, well, freak it. We got to get rid of them. And then the Minnesota Vikings are like, oh, my God, we need a quarterback. What will it take? He was in a bidding war, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
With the Minnesota Vikings and the New York Jets.
Yes.
What are we doing? So just think about that in the context of Mahomes. If he never reaches free agency, if he just rolls deals over, if he just adds a year or two into the extension, give the team more cash leads, the Chiefs will always be in an advantage.
Yep.
They'll never have to be in a knife war for a mediocre quarterback like the Minnesota Vikings and the New York Jets. Like, so no matter, even if he is the highest paid player, clearly he's earned it, or you just get the best player at a slightly reduced cost based on, like, the commodity that his position holds for the rest of the league.
Yep. I think that's a great point. And I don't think that element of it has been discussed enough. Like, some people be like, is this a team-friendly deal? It'll work out. Like, Brett Veach said, the day after signing the deal, he's like, yeah, we could do some things to make some cap space down the road. There's some things we could do. Like, he's not even pretending that that's not already on his mind.
Right.
But Patrick Mahomes is not going to make $60 million in 2027. He'll probably make $60 million for the first and only time at age 52, whenever they're just like, hey, man, we'll just go ahead and do it here finally, get your last run in and everything, and yes, you're the whole salary cap this year. We're going to have you be way underpaid until 2097. How are you still playing football? And you're 80 years old. and you're just the entire $400 million salary cap this year, and then we're going to just be good. Like, that's and fine, good. That works excellently for the next decade. That I think that all any of the faux concern at this point of like, oh, just a lot of money to be given to a quarterback. This is literally what you have cap space for. And that, to your point, this is still structurally an excellent value for the Chiefs because Patrick Mahomes on the open market, oh my God.
Oh, I mean, we ran a story in The Athletic a couple weeks ago about Peyton Manning's, you know, free agency. And again, this is Peyton Manning in the twilight of his career.
With his neck fused together.
Right. And teams lost their minds. Teams were like, I'll do anything, Peyton.
Yes.
I'll do anything. And so if Patrick Mahomes, before the age of 30, if he got to the open market, would be the, you know, I know we're on the anniversary, the 10-year anniversary of the decision. It would kind of, I think, be the equivalent of that
yes.
for the NFL, where it's like, wherever this dude goes, hope he's not in your conference, because if he's in your conference, holy smokes, guys,
yep.
we may not get anywhere near the Lombardi Trophy. So, like, it could be the equivalent. But Patrick Mahomes is wise enough to know, and again, this goes back to, like, one question I asked, like, where has Patrick Mahomes gone wrong in any of this? It really is, like, okay, there's how many coaches are better than Andy Reid in the league right now?
Distinct, like, absolutely better.
Yeah,
probably zero, maybe one. Yeah,
one. I would say one right now, and we'll get to see what that looks like because he gets Cam Newton of all people.
Sure does. Sure does. Bill Belichick right now is learning how to type with Cam Newton's keyboard.
Did you see what the Patriots put out? They were like,
sure did.
Ours now. And
yes.
It's just like, guys. I mean, one end of this of the town is the Red Sox, and we're like, yeah, we done said them words. Sorry, Torrey Hunter. Yeah, that's on us. That's on us, dog. And the other side of the town is like, you know what? I would change myself for Cam Newton. I would cut my hair. I'd get a tattoo. I'd start shopping more. I'm going to do a lot of things for Cam Newton. That is what the other side of the town's doing.
You're so right. Belichick's going to come out for a press conference in a full-on Cam Newton outfit, and Cam's going to come out in a cutoff hoodie at some point,
right.
And it's going to be a buddy cop movie.
Exactly. And so if you're Patrick Mahomes, you're like, okay, so there's only one coach, like, marketably better over the course of both careers, better than him.
Mm-hmm.
But he runs my offense. He's willing to listen to me. Okay, how many owners are marketably better than Clark Hunt? I mean, that number small too.
It's definitely small. Yeah, I would have a harder time making that judgment confidently, but it's small.
It's like less than five,
yeah.
Honestly. It's like, you know, I'll just name some teams. It's like the Ravens,
mm-hmm.
Obviously Kraft because of what he's done since he's taken ownership of the Patriots. I think one owner that doesn't get a ton of credit is because they're not owners, and it's usually the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, there's a couple teams
sure.
out there. You know, before you know, Mr. Bowen died, unfortunately, like, you could say Denver's was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're like, again, 4 to 5, maybe on the same level, if not slightly better, than Clark Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how many GMs are better than Broad Beach?
It's a small number.
That number's getting small, too.
It's getting smaller. Yeah.
Yeah. So what he's realized is that, okay, even if I was to, like, play out my rookie deal, right? Let's say I become an actual free agent in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Where in God's name am I going to go that's better than this right now?
Yep.
And so it just – all these decisions have such a huge impact. And then the quarterback, like Brett sort of mentioned yesterday in the Zoom call, is – wise and aware enough to know that, like, what this is good, and all we have to do is not ensure that we screw ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the Chiefs don't screw themselves, they don't beat themselves, hey, if guys don't drop the ball for a half in a
yep.
playoff game,
yep.
they're probably going to win more than one Super Bowl.
Yep.
And so that's where he is, and again, the more you think about it long term, it's like, I mean, maybe the Arizona Cardinals 5 years from now are going to be hot because Kyler Murray, you know, obviously they'll have a similar offensive coach in Cliff Kingsbury. Maybe their general manager makes some good decisions. It's kind of been hit or miss between him so far. Like, you can sort of project some teams that are like, hey, maybe if we just add Mahomes, things change. But in the context of right now, it makes sense as to why he would say, why in God's name would I leave Andy Reid? Which alludes to my other point, which is Andy Reid being like, I've waited this long.
Yes.
And I can't tell you people how much money I would give to become Benjamin Button.
Right. So this is something Nate wrote about today. You can read it in The Athletic right now, talking about Mahomes now being locked in for 10 years. Andy Reid's planning on being around. Here's the argument that I've made, and you tell me if this checks out and what else you wrote about here, what you need to you know, tease the story for everybody, all of that. I think Andy Reid right now is, honestly, having the most fun time of his life.
Yep.
He is not drawing up plays for a good quarterback. He is not drawing up plays for a bad quarterback. He is not trying to make an offense work with anything less than the ideal pieces. People talk all the time about any sort of like ideology. Like, well, in a perfect world, in a utopia, that would work. Andy Reid is designing an offense in a utopia right now with the quarterback who can make any throw he literally ever would have imagined, and then some I'm sure he hadn't. And Andy Reid loves this stuff. Like, Andy Reid is not out here grinding, punching the clock, and trying to figure out when his pension's going to cash. Like, this is Andy Reid's fun. Why would he retire now?
Right. And, I mean, again, he kind of, I would encourage anybody to, if you get a chance, look at the December game between the Chiefs and the Patriots in Foxborough. Because of some weird football-y thing where, like, balls bounce a certain way, the Chiefs could have housed them. Mm-hmm. Like, he out-coached Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick had to go into his bag of tricks because he's like, holy smokes, this is a nuclear bomb I'm playing against.
Yeah.
With, you know, guaranteed mechanisms at the helm. So for Andy Reid, who his biggest adversary in the conference has been Bill Belichick. That's the guy he's been chasing in terms of schematics, in terms of like, okay, I don't know what his defense is. His defense is really great. I'm going to sprint them out. We're going to throw the ball a ton. And we'll just see which style wins. Well, he, like you said, he has the ideal pieces in. The thing that I came back to as I was writing the story today, and I would encourage anybody to read it on The Athletic, is, you know, we have to start thinking historically with the Chiefs now. Again, a sentence I would have never said before this year.
Yeah.
But you have to start thinking about, like, okay, what does it mean to repeat as champion? Can this team hold it together? How much can, you know, Patrick Mahomes be either Peyton Manning, or can he be Tom Brady, or is he going to be more in the Brett Favre, Drew Brees category? Like, you kind of have to think really big picture now. And so I looked it up. Who are the quarterbacks who've won either consecutive championships or multiple championships? That list, as we all know, very small.
Very small. Yeah.
But the overriding variable in all of these cases is that they were paired with a Hall of Fame coach.
Mm.
Right coach, right quarterback at the right time leads to you having such a large advantage in terms of the landscape of the league skewing in your direction. This is where the Chiefs are right now, where not only can they repeat as champions in 2020, again, if we have a full season, the idea is that both of these guys are going to boost and enhance each other's legacy. So it only makes sense for Andy Reid to say, I've got to stick to this kid as long as possible. And you just convinced him to be tied to you basically until you want to retire.
Yeah.
Like, Clark is never getting rid of you unless something catastrophically goes wrong.
Yep.
And you have the best job security that you've ever had in your career. And this is what I mentioned in my, you know, much talked about Hope People read it. Hey, guys, the Chiefs are repeat as champions because Andy Reid didn't lose anybody on his coaching staff.
Yep.
So even the guys that he's working with on a day-to-day basis know exactly how things need to be ran, know exactly how to get the guys in the right position. They all bring creative ideas to the table, too. And so there's a great level of collaboration. And he is literally in the best situation he's ever been. I hope we can all say that when we get to the age of 62, where it's like, man, I had a great life before this. Not only have I won Super Bowls or championships or whatever it is in your industry, I'm going to have a great wife, a family. yada, yada, yada. It's only gotten better since I got to the age of 62.
Yeah.
But that's where he is, and there's no reason for him to stop because, honestly, and as I wrote this, his peers and I think most analysts already think he's in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
He can only add to that now.
Yep.
And that gives a level of freedom that Patrick Mahomes even alluded to. When LaTroy Hawkins and Pat Mahomes Sr. said, hey, when guys get the long-term deals, all you have to do is just play now. You can just play free. You ain't got to worry about all the financials. That part has been taken care of. You just got to worry about winning championships, building your legacy. And this, it goes the same for Andy Reid because he's found the generational quarterback he's always needed, and that quarterback has put immense faith in him because he signed a 10-year contract extension.
The other thing there is that, you know, I don't know if I'm doing this for my legacy is always a good mindset of like, hey, why are you still working later than you have to or whatever. And again, Andy Reid is 62, right? Like, he's 6 years younger than Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll.
Right.
He's I think it's the mustache. I just think if he didn't have a mustache, I think we'd be like, yeah, he's a young gun. And he's been in the league forever. Like, we've all seen him forever. And so I understand that. I just think that the thing that he mentions every time that I just believe to be the God's honest truth is that he is loving this. Like, this is the best that his career has felt right now. And if you're having fun and you happen to be adding to your legacy and making big piles of money that you can, you know, just continue handing around to your family for the rest of your life and beyond, honestly, like, not to be dark, but I mean, that we're talking about generational wealth in that regard. Why wouldn't you keep doing it? As soon as it stops being fun, I think he'll tap out and say, this was great. Mike Kafka, congratulations. You're the head coach of the Chiefs. But frankly, Mike Kafka's probably going to be a head coach somewhere else before Andy Reid retires.
Right. He's just gonna keep pumping out disciples wherever, you know, wherever those guys go. I mean, it's Eric Bieniemy, Mike Kafka, as I mentioned on Times Ours. Hell, Dylan McCall is going to be a head coach.
Yes,
y'all.
Yes.
Like, why not? Yeah, here's how you know when Andy Reid is happy fun, kids. And this has happened, obviously, more recently. The meter on any Andy Reid public, you know, comments of his, there are two phrases. It's let's roll,
mm-hmm.
let's roll.
Mm-hmm.
Let's roll, and doggone it.
Yes.
He said doggone it twice yesterday.
Yes.
This alludes to my friend Joshua Briscoe's point. He said doggone it twice in a press conference because he's 62 years old and he's just like, I can just let it fly because, like, I'm in such a great position, you know.
I think he said, let's go, God, doggone it. I think he might have gotten the double there whenever he responded to Herbie's question trying to get him to retire. Doggone it. Unbelievable. This is going to be an incredibly awkward segue, and I'm just going to do it, and then we're going to get you out of here. But it was interesting, and we already had you coming on tonight. Mitchell Schwartz tweeted out and put on Instagram also. I know the segue is horrible. The segue is incredibly awkward.
No,
we're just going to power through it. The more we talk about it, the more we kind of create a little buffer that I think is actually helping. But he tweets out this statement about anti-Semitism, and it's clearly in response to DeSean Jackson putting fake Hitler quotes on Instagram, which is like, you just gotta know. That sucks. Like, we went over this last night. Rule of thumb, everybody. Don't read Hitler. All right? It's cool. Like, I don't care what else is in there. Said this last night. I'm reusing the joke on you. I don't care if Hitler had a banging potato salad recipe. You don't get to cook it because you don't get to know about it because it's in a book that Hitler wrote. Like, that's a non-starter. But then that happens. Steven Jackson kind of like defends DeSean Jackson. Not that this is new, but like Larry Johnson tweets about a whole bunch of stuff that's all bad. And I know he's got everyone thinks he has CT. He thinks he has CT. I try to be kind of careful there, but God, it sucks so much. And so then tonight, Mitch Schwartz puts out this statement that we read earlier, and you can read up on his Twitter or his Instagram. And I was just curious what you thought whenever you saw that from him.
You know, like, I need to critique Mitchell Schwartz because he's proven also to be, like, really good at, you know, just about anything.
Yeah.
I wish he would have actually mentioned this. Like, the only thing I thought was, like, just mention his name. Like, this sounds an idiot.
You're right.
That's the statement. Go.
Right.
you know, he chose a path of unity. It's great. You know, one thing is, like, I wish I hadn't really thought about it from Mitchell's standpoint, because I know he obviously is Jewish, and so it just never occurred in my mind, because, again, it's a fake quote from Hitler that you put in a publicly consumable social media platform. What?
Yeah, it's insane.
Dog.
Find what? Better light reading. I mean, any, which would be anything, by the way. Literally anything.
So, you know, he honestly could have said, Deshaun's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been fine.
Yeah.
That would have been fine by me. It speaks to the idea that, like, I need to run on a campaign. I don't know who my opponent is, really, other than misinformation, I guess, is my biggest opponent, which means I probably won't win in this election. But, like, I would just run on the platform. My campaign would be centered on literacy and media. Can we just get better at it? Mm-hmm. Can we just understand the implications and impact of media, you know, mass consumption, and can we just get better at, like, being literate? And then, I mean, this may blow your minds, ladies and gentlemen, if we could just combine the two concepts together,
mm-hmm.
and we could be media literate,
mm-hmm.
to understand not just what's offensive in the world, or not just what's correct or ethical, just so that the common man and woman could gain better knowledge from you, too.
Yeah.
But instead, misinformation, and no one's literate at this point, creates chaos to where, again, this is, by and large, pretty decent human being, until he starts reading things that no one should be reading.
Right. Yes. If you're a Hitler historian, then you can read whatever you need to, so you can write about what went wrong there.
Yeah,
which was
right.
All of it. Going, you know what, there's some really interesting ideas in here, is not helpful. And, like, and what Mitch Schwartz mentioned in his statement also is, like, anti-Semitism and hate crimes against Jewish people are up. It's going the wrong direction. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a real...
Think about what happened in Pittsburgh. I mean, I hate to bring up a terrible tragedy, but, like, these things are occurring.
Yeah.
Because people are not well-read.
Yeah.
They're not compassionate. They're not willing to exchange, I don't know, a thing called experiences.
Yeah.
I mean, your point is so right, Josh, because, like, we as people would like to be part of the solution, not mm-hmm. the problem. I don't think anybody, you know, unless they're, like, really narcissistic or very, you know, just have a problem of the brain. I don't think anybody says, I want to be the problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Most people would like to be the solution, yet we're not equipping ourselves with the ability to be the solution, or to, like, try to find a better understanding, or just, like, hey, sometimes you got to know when to fall back. Sometimes I want to hit the send button too, Deshaun. Guess what I don't be doing? Hit the send button.
Right.
And it ain't about, like, Hitler and anti-Semitism. It's not that. It's just, like, anything that can, like, charge you up or get you emotionally, you know, sort of slanted. But it's just, like, you know, like, sometimes illness is good news. Sometimes silence is golden. Sometimes mm-hmm. having a better understanding of, like, the topic situation is just better.
Yeah. Nate, I appreciate it. This was a segment length that Seth Kaiser would be jealous of. I appreciate you making the time to get through all these things. Where I thought this was going to be a very slow week.
Oh my god!
We just erased an hour of radio and got to, like, 80% of the things that are in the cycle. So,
yeah.
Thank you as always. And once we let you return to your family, who has probably wondered if you are still around anymore because you've been here for so long now, I will tell everyone to read The Athletic, subscribe to Times Ours wherever they get their podcasts, and go to theathletic.com/TimesOurs for a discount on your subscription if you've not yet. Nate, go make your triumphant return. Thank you for spending the last 40 minutes with us.
Thank you, sir. Always.
Nate Taylor of The Athletic. It's at by Nate Taylor on Twitter. Again, I know that I'm a shill at this point. I have conflicting interests. Rudy wants me to take a break very badly. I'm telling you, the work happening at The Athletic from Nate and Seth to Alec Lewis is exceptional. And you should go read that during the break we have to take before Rudy comes into this studio and smacks me.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Ravens, Seahawks, Ravens, not happening. Ravens, Eagles. Love this game. Love this matchup. Could be an interesting quarterback situation, and Earl Thomas gets to play in the city of brotherly love.
Anywho, I love Drew Brees.
On Sports Radio 810, WHB.
So stupid. Thanks again to Nate Taylor for just leaving his family behind for 45 minutes. Just everyone in his life who cared about Nate Taylor wondered where he went, because no one was listening to this, of course.
I care about him. I know where he's at.
That's a great point. You and I love and care about Nate Taylor and knew where he was. Everyone else, like, we called you for 35 minutes. Like, I had it in Do Not Disturb. I was on the radio. For 35 minutes? That was Josh. Oh. So what, did you talk for 15 of it? yuck. That's one of those self-burns that I don't even believe in. Take that. Yeah, I'm defensive. Stupid. Some excellent stuff there. And again, I'll tell you for the 97th time, if you're not reading The Athletic and Nate's work, you're missing stuff that should be like mandatory viewing for you as a Chiefs fan. Some other stuff that I thought we might get to earlier today, and then a bunch of other stuff kind of just started happening tonight. Earlier this morning here on 810, Joel Corey was on the show. He is the most qualified man on the planet to talk about NFL salary cap stuff, and he went through a ton of very interesting things with the Chiefs' deal with Mahomes, what it might mean for Chris Jones, even looked ahead to a potential labor deal issue. And I actually want to start with what he said about Chris Jones, because I do think we've covered a good amount of the Mahomes stuff. But Chris Jones right now, who I completely forgot to ask Nate about because we had a lot of other things happening there. He said on Times Ours, whenever we did the emergency pod with me and him and Seth, that he thinks it cracks that door open a little bit for the Chiefs to get a deal done with Chris Jones before the deadline. But Joel Corey on the Border Patrol this morning, Stephen St. John and Todd Lebo filling in for Nate this morning, they talked a little bit about what this then lays out for the Chiefs, for Chris Jones, and what it means for the Chiefs in the Chris Jones situation.
This has no bearing on Chris Jones because Chris Jones is self-contained. He's been counting on the books ever since they tendered him as a franchise player, $16.126 million. Even though he hasn't signed the tender, it's a Chiefs cap charge. The big question is, do they want to pay him like DeForest Buckner and Frank Clark, basically $21 million per year on a multi-year deal where you're going to guarantee close to, if not $60 million or more, and have over $40 million fully guaranteed and signed? That's the big question, because the Chiefs typically on long-term deals, and it's been this way for quite some time, they do deals where the first-year cap number is kind of low, and then the cap numbers start ballooning. If you do a long-term deal with Chris Jones, you create your own cap room out of the franchise tag number, and I'll give you an example of how that would work. Let's say you sign Chris Jones to a five-year deal, and let's say you give Chris Jones a $20 million signing bonus, and you drop he has a base salary of $1 million. $1 million plus the prorated amount of signing bonus, you can prorate for 5 years. So that's $4 million in signing bonus proration plus $1 million base salary. It's a $5 million cap hit for 2020. You pick up $11 million and some change on the cap just by doing a long-term deal with Chris Jones working within his own franchise tender. So from a cap standpoint, this deal doesn't really affect Chris Jones. Now, it may from a cash standpoint, because the cash flow in Mahomes' deal is, frankly, very low in the first couple of years. So that's where Mahomes may impact a Chris Jones deal, that you could give Chris Jones more cash because Mahomes' cash flow just I was shocked at what the cash flow is. It's not something I ever contemplated in this deal.
So the very beginning of that, I think, is not the full answer that I was thinking it was going to be. Honestly, I listened to the full thing earlier, and it was already cut, and I should have listened to make sure the beginning there. Because whenever he was talking about Chris Jones, he was saying that there's a number of ways you can look into it. And he tweeted about this whenever the Mahomes deal happened, and I'm finding that tweet now. But he's saying there are multiple ways that this could be viewed as impacting Chris Jones, saying one school of thought is that Mahomes took all the money in Kansas City so Jones doesn't have a future with the Chiefs. There's also the school of thought that there's cost certainty that allows a long-term deal for Jones. He's saying the third school of thought is that it doesn't affect Jones at all because it's locked in. And so he's right that as far as salary cap goes, in terms of 2020, extending Chris Jones was always very likely to actually lower his cap hit in 2020. However, you look at the cost certainty of the long-term view and the cash flow overall, and it allows for some better chances of Chris Jones ultimately getting that deal from the Chiefs before the deadline. We have probably time to play one more of these before the end of the hour. I also want to talk, I want to hear from Joel Corey on Mahomes' deal specifically and what he thought as the details of this ultimately began to unfold.
Well, first, the enormity of the contract is what took me aback at first, because a 10-year deal, 10-year extension was not something that entered my mind as a realistic possibility. Something which was surprising was how it's structured from a security standpoint. That typically, if you sign a really long deal, and teams want you to sign the great players for as long as possible, that at some point the deal becomes a series of team options for the player, for the team, so that they have the flexibility to get out of the contract whenever they want. That's not the case in this contract, and I'll give you a point to a 1 year is an example of what happens in every year of the contract. That as you get in the later years of the contract, let's say Mahomes is 2027 year, he's got the bulk of his money or a significant part in an early March roster bonus, like third day of the league year roster bonus. In 2027, there's $49.4 million of the $59.5 million he's going to make that year in a third day of the league year roster bonus. But that's not what really protects him. It's the fact that $49.4 million becomes fully guaranteed on the third day of the 2026 league year, 1 year in advance. And 2026 works the same way, where the big roster bonus becomes fully guaranteed in 2025, a year in advance. So he's protected in a way I haven't seen in a really long contract.
And we've talked about that these last few days. I don't know if that's new information for anyone who's been listening to this show, but there's another voice you can hear it in and explained in a way that I think makes a ton of sense. The protection for Mahomes is that it becomes, those guarantee mechanisms are rolling guarantees, where the next year gets guaranteed on the third day of the previous league year, meaning you're paying him for time he would not be playing for you. Like, it's getting guaranteed more than that year. You can't cut him on the second day of the league year and then not have him on the cap that year. He's there that season, and then you're trying to clear out for next year, although he won't be playing for you in the year you're currently in. And again, I think all of that is a bit of a moot point, because Mahomes is going to be here not just through this deal, but likely longer. The restructuring that this deal will end up having will be to extend it and maybe to flatten out some of that money, spread it out a little bit, continue to get Mahomes great players around him while still giving him a comedic amount of money. That works for everybody. And that continues to be my big thing from this deal. Mahomes is in Kansas City for the next decade because he trusts that it's going to work out. And the Chiefs are going to be paying Patrick Mahomes a ton of money because they trust him. It's the exact relationship you'd be looking for between your quarterback and your organization.